Morning.
Today's daf from Baba Basra is Kuf Chaf Aleph. We start today on Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. We are continuing from yesterday's daf and yesterday's discussion. Well, we got into yesterday's discussion regarding Nachla, and specifically we spoke about Benos Safchad in greater detail. We talked about how they were Tzadkanios, they were Chachmanios, and they were Darshanios. And the Gemara went over each one of the adjectives and accolades that were given to the Benos Safchad. The Gemara then went on further to discuss the in terms of who they were allowed to marry. So the Gemara says that they were allowed to marry, quite frankly, whomever they want, even though Eitzah Tova was good advice that they should marry that they should marry within their shevet, so that the father and their grandfather's chelik remain. But the truth of the matter is that they were given a special dispensation. The rest of the generation had to marry within shevet, but they couldn't marry but they were allowed to marry outside of shevet. As I mentioned yesterday, it's hard to understand why they were given a special dispensation. I didn't have a theory yesterday. I don't have a theory today. Okay, but as far as how do we know that this general issur of not marrying into another shevet only applies for one generation? So the Gemara says we learn it out based on the drasha, the Zeha Davar. Generally speaking, Zeha Davar does not necessarily come to teach us that, and allow the Gemara a moment to segue into another discussion in terms of Exer Shava, because twice in the Torah a parsha is introduced with the word Zeha Davar. One is Shchut Echutz, and the other is Hafaras Nadarim. And Shchut Echutz, Hafaras Nadarim, two seemingly distinct areas in Halacha. So the Zeha Davar links the two. And what does it link the two for? So to tell us various Halachas that applies to one also applies to the other. It creates a hyperlink. It opens up the door between these two Parshios. The Gemara points out that not everyone subscribes to the Gzera Shava, notably Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai does not subscribe to the Gzera Shava. The reason why we know that is because, as we learned in yesterday's daf, the Gzera Shava allows us to conclude that just like by Hafaras Nadarim, what can you do with a neder? You could just totally erase it. In other words, you either go to the husband, she goes to her husband, and her husband within 24 hours can just simply be mefer. He can just totally expunge the neder, or you go to a chacham, the chacham could be matir. To be a little bit more accurate, actually, the husband doesn't expunge it. The husband just simply cuts it from this point going forward. The chacham, he's matir it from the point of origination. Oh, okay, but again, now I'm getting a little too detailed. But basically, if you subscribe to the gzeira shava, that means that just like by neder you can undo it, so too by carbon you can undo it as well. Meaning, let's say you were makdish an animal and you did so betaos, and we'll go even one step further because the gemara, this is exactly the gemara's point of yesterday. Let's say not only you are makdish a karma, but you shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, which has with it the liability of an Isser Kares. And then afterwards, you go to a chacham and you say, look, I know I was makdish the karban, and I know I shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash, but when I was makdish it, I didn't know this, or I wasn't aware of this, and I regret the entire hektish from the beginning. And what the chacham could do, assuming that the conditions are right, is that he can totally undo your act of hektish, and actually what that's going to remove, it's going to remove the Isser Shchut Echutz. Again, if the conditions are right. So, and this is the idea of Hektish Betos. If I Maktish something and I do so by mistake, so is that considered Hektish or is that not considered Hektish? And we know the Halach is like Beis Hillel, that is considered Hektish. Okay. But that's all good if you subscribe to Beis Hillel. What if you subscribe to Beis Shammai? So this is a problem. And it's a problem because Beit Shammai doesn't subscribe to Hektish Betos, Eino Hektish, but rather Beit Shammai is of the opinion Hektish Betos is considered Hektish. So that means then that he doesn't subscribe to the Gzera Shava. And so this is where the Gemara picks it up from where we left yesterday. Ula Beit Shammai. So we have four lines from the bottom on Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. And this is it. This is where the Gemara picks it up. Ula Beit Shammai, Delay Slu Gzera Shava. How far is the Darim Vishosha Ejotus Menalahu? So now Beit Shammai doesn't hold the Gzera Shava. Now we saw the Gzera Shava as bringing us to the halacha that when it comes to Mefer Neder, you have to do so with a basin and a basin of three. But again, Beit Shammai doesn't subscribe to the Gzera Shava. So if that's true, so where does he arrive? How does he arrive at this conclusion? Menalahu, the Gemara says, where does he know from? Nafkalu Meditani. So the Gemara says he arrives it based on another Braisa. The Braisa reads, Vayidaber Moshe's Moedei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. So the Braisa first starts with a pasuk in Chumash, Parshas Emor. We hear this Parsha, two of the three Moadim, we hear this Parsha. This is the parsha of the Torah that goes through in greater detail the Moados of the year. And Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, now on this opening sequence of Psukim in Parshas Emor, so Rabbi Yosef Glili makes a statement which at its face value is extraordinarily ambiguous and cryptic. And let's read the Braisa. We're not going to understand the Braisa, but we're going to read it. Moad Hashem Namra, Shabbos Brachos Lo Namra. So when it comes to Moed Hashem, yes. When it comes to Shabbos Brachos, no. Yes, no, what are we talking about? Again, right now we don't understand the Braisa. Benazai Omer Moed Hashem Namra, Hafaras Nadarim Lo Namra. And Benazai says Moed Hashem, yes, and Hafaras Nadarim, no. Okay, good. That's great. So we have a Braisa. It's quoting the beginning of Parshas Emor. It's contrasting Moed to Shabbos. What the contrast is, we don't know yet. It's contrasting Moed to Hafaras Nadarim according to Benazai. We don't know what that means yet. Okay, so again, what's our goal? Our goal is to have a different drasha to arrive at the conclusion that when it comes to Afaras Nadarim, you need a basin of three. That's what we're getting towards. But we have to first understand Pshat and the Braisa. So Rabbi Yosi Bar Nasan Gamar Leila Hamasitzan. So Rabbi Yosi Bar Nasan learned the Braisa. V'lo yadol lefrushe, and he learned the Braisa, and he's looking around. He's like, does anyone understand Pshat and the Braisa? Because I don't. So Alzo Basri the Rav Sheshes and Narda. So he goes after Rav Sheshes. He chases Rav Sheshes down in order to get some Pshat in the Braisa. V'lo Ashkeche. Now first he goes to Narda. He's not there. So Alzo Basri leMechuzah. So then he goes to the town of Mechuzah Ashkeche. So he finds him. Just a good Moser, by the way. In other words, when you're searching to look for Pshat and the Braisa, Emes HaTorah, so you go, you walk, you search. In other words, you make efforts. So Amalei Mai Moed Hashem Namra, Shabbos Brachos Lo Namra. So he first quotes the first half of the Braisa. And he turns to Rosh Hashanah and says, fine, now that I finally made it to you. Okay, so let's go. First, first section of the Braisa. What in the world does that mean? So Amar Leih, now this is the pshat of Rav Sheshes in the Braisa. So Moed Hashem Tzrichin Kiddush and Basin Shabbos. I'm sorry, Kiddush Basin. Thank you. Shabbos Brachos and Tzricha Kiddush Basin. Okay. So as far as the Nemra and Lo Nemra, it's talking about Kiddush Basin, sanctification of Basin. So when it comes to Moados, it requires sanctification of Basin. When it comes to Shabbos, it does not require sanctification of Brachos. I'm sorry, of Beis Din. Okay, what's going on over here? What sanctification of Beis Din are we talking about on the Moed? So you probably guessed it. The Rashbam says it. Top of the Amud, second Rashbam. Moed Hashem Tzrichin Kiddush. Shahayu Mekanshin Asachodesh Api Ariya. Because Moed obviously is a date. It's a calendarical date. And as a result of that, it's based on Rosh Chodesh. Who determines Rosh Chodesh? Beis Din determines Rosh Chodesh. So when we say that a Moed requires Kiddush Beis Din, Rashbam says it goes back to Rosh Chodesh. I'm reading the Rashbam. Omitokach miskadosh moed bezmanosh lefi ibra hashana v'ibra chadoshim ha-moadim mizakvim. Aval moadim atzman lo yimikachim ki yimachadoshim. Now the Rashbam says we don't mean to say that we're being mikadosh the actual yontif itself, meaning once Rosh Chodesh is sent to motion, so then the 15th day of the month is going to be yontif for two out of the three. Okay. For one of them, it really has nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh, but which is not entirely true. Meaning for Shavuos, yes, it has to do with Rosh Chodesh because it has to do with the Rosh Chodesh of Nisan. Okay, good. Ki im achadashim kidanam b'Rosh Hashanah l'gabi kiddush achodesh av beizin omer mekudesh v'chola amonim achrav mekudesh mekudesh. Going back to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which deals extensively with the mitzvah of kiddush achodesh, so all this is an act of beizin. Shenem ha'ashir tikro sam karibay atem u'treizim ne mekudesh mekudesh naf. That's the pshat in our Gemara of how Beis Din is Mekadosh Moed because of Mekadosh Rosh Chodesh. On the other hand, as far as Shabbos is concerned, there is no requirement of Kiddush. So there's no requirement of Kiddush, meaning the Rashbam points out, in our context we're saying, meaning that unlike Yontov, which needs a kickstart from Beis Din in order to establish the first day of Rosh Chodesh, so that now we know which day Yontov falls down on, Shabbos does not need a Beis Din kickstart. Meaning you don't need to set anything into motion for Shabbos to occur because Shabbos is every seventh day. The Rashbam writes, next Rashbam. Kein shemekashem ha'adah seyedei kiddush rosh chodeshim. Ein mekashen echa b'shabbos liyo shvi shelo Shabbos. Right, Beis Din doesn't have to go on Sunday and say, you know what, we officially proclaim today Sunday. Everyone excited? It's Sunday. Yeah, you know, here in Chutz Laaretz, yeah, we're excited. Sunday is like our Yom Tov Sheni Shabbos Shel Galuyos. Okay, but in other words, but then Sunday they don't have to kickstart Sunday. Okay, fine. And as far as the Rashbam says, as far as how we got it from the Pesukim of Nafkalei Medichsev, Moadi Hashem Yisera Damatzel Mechtev Eila Shia Tikrosam Mikray Kodesh Shabbos Breishes Kari LeShabbos Mishum Dechomo Adas Namikziv Behu Shabbos Shabbaton. Right, every Yontif also has a Shabbos element, meaning a cessation of work. So therefore, when we say Shabbos Breishis, we call it Shabbos Breishis because that already is built into the fabric of creation, that every seventh day is going to be a day of sanctity, rest, etc., etc. Okay, back to our Gemara. So far, what have we accomplished? We set over now the shot in the first half of the Braisa, which is good, but it's not why we're here. Meaning the reason why we quoted the Braisa is because we wanted the second part of the Braisa. And we continue now in the Gemara. Salkadat Chamina, I should have read this before. This is just the punctuation of the previous point. Salkadat Chamina, I'm just in the Gemara where we last left off. Hol v'ksiva gabe moados tibay kiddush beizdin ke moados kamash malan. So the Gemara says, and look, the Havamina would have been that since Shabbos is written in the Parsha of Moados, meaning you open up to the beginning of the Perek of Chav Gimel in Parsha Zamor, and the Torah says, Eile moade. That's what I guess they're trying to do it by heart. Good for me. Oh, look at that. That's exciting. I opened up to the spot. Okay, that's exciting. Sorry, let me back up to the beginning of the parak. These are my moados, meaning designated times. And then what's number one? Talks about Shabbos, meaning so the Havamina would have been that, and then it goes into all the Yamim Tovim, starting with Pesach and moving on from there. So the Havamina would have been that that Shabbos is just like Moed. That just like by Moed, it requires Kiddush Beis Din. So to Shabbos, requires Kiddush Beis Din. And that's the first half of the Braisa, that it does not. That's the Havamina, that's the conclusion. As long as we're here, parenthetically, I'll point out, it's a famous grub. But I say famous because I know it. It's not really, you know, everything is relative. But the Gemara over here comments, it is funny, meaning the Gemara is making a great observation. The Torah is introducing us to the Moados, and then the Torah starts off with Shabbos. It's weird. What Shabbos is doing here? So the Vilna Gaon said, and again, I don't have a Mar Malkum. I can't tell you where to find it, but you know, I've heard it over again and again, and I keep hearing people saying in his name, and it's just such a beautiful pshat. He says that when the Torah says Sheish Yamim Te'asem Alacha V'Yamashri Shabbat Shabbaton, it's not talking about Shabbos. I know our Gemara says it is. Right, this word of the Vilna Gaon is not fitting in with our Gemara. But it's not talking about Shabbos, but rather what is it talking about? It's talking about the six Yamim Tovim. Meaning, consider, how many Yom Tovs are there in the course of a year? So, I know we're in Gullah, so, you know, for us the number's almost doubled. But how many Yamim Tovim are there for us? So, on Sukkot there are two. On Pesach there are two. Front end, back end. On Shavuos, there's one. We're up to five already. And Rosh Hashanah. We'll get to Yom Kippur in just a second. So there are six Yamim Tovim. So when the pasuk starts off, the Moados, it says Sheishes Yamim Te'asem Malacha. So on six of the Yom Tovs, you could do Malacha. What Malacha are we talking about? Ochel Nefesh, right? You're allowed to cook. And you're allowed to do malachas relevant to cooking. Uve yom hashvi'i, but on the seventh yontif, now let's identify. What's the seventh yontif? Yom Kippur. So on the seventh yontif, Shabbat Shabbaton, Mikra Kodesh, Shabbat Kol Malach Lo Sasu. There, you can't even do ochel nefesh. You can't cook on Yom Kippur. Meaning, I know you can't eat, but it goes more than that. Meaning, it's not that you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. That there's no heter of ochel nefesh. Meaning, let's say your kid wants to eat. You can't cook for your kid on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur has Shabbat status. Full malacha status. Anyway, that's the word by the Vilna Gaon. Okay. How does he get that? Well, it's contextually, it's just weird. Meaning, what's that pasuk doing over here when the Torah is about to introduce the Moados? And then the Torah says, and then there's Shabbos. It's weird. So, good. Okay, good. It's a word. Okay, so back to our Gemara. Second half of the Braisa. Namru. Okay, so Sakadacha. We did that. Kiddush Kamaros Kamash Malan. Okay, my Moad Hashem Namru Afaras Nadarm Lo Namru. Okay, good. We're up to now the second half of the Braisa, and this is why we quoted the Braisa, just to get to the singular point, and that is that the second half of the Braisa is also cryptic. Moed Hashem Namru. Hafaras Nadarim Lo Namru. What does that mean? Gemara goes on to explain. Again, in the context of our Gemara, this is Rav Sheish is explaining it to Rav Yossi. Not Rebbe Yossi, but the Amora. So, Moed Hashem Tzrichim Mumchim. How far is the Dharma in Tzrichim Mumchim? So look, when you're going to be Makar Shechodesh, so what do you need? You need a Beis Din and a Mumchim, meaning a Beis Din made up of both professional and Musmachim, meaning a real bona fide Beis Din certified professional. Because what are we talking about over here? Riyas Shechodesh. So Riyas Shechodesh Kiddush Levana. Not in the context that you and I talk about it, but in other words, a real sanctification of the month. So for that you need a bona fide Beis Din. Masha Enkei, when it comes to Afaras Nedarim, so who can do Afaras Nedarim? Meaning what kind of Beis Din needs to preside over that? Could be anybody. Okay, yeah, right. we know this because we do this. Our minhag is on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, fine. So any tzricha mumchem. So the harash yematus ksiv. So the Gemara says, okay, but when you go to the beginning of the parsha of Nedarim, it says Rashi hamatos. We're talking about tribal leaders over here. They are presumably, excellent. Excellent people with credential. So I'm Rav Chista, I'm Rav Yochanan, ki Yachin Mumcha. So I'm sorry, be Yachin Mumcha. Okay, so the Gemara says, and yesterday's daf, Gemara saying it now again. Yeah, if you're going to use one Dayan, so he has to be a Mumcha. But for Hafaras Nedarim, once you're using three, so then it could be even Hejotos. It could be just regular people. All right, Tanan Hasam. Okay, the Gemara here is going to be quoting a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Tanis. In fact, the entirety of our discussion over here is a replay of the Gemara in Tanis. So, Tanis Chavav and Baba Basra Kuf Chav Aleph. So basically, we're going to be having the same exact discussion. So it's good review. It's Chazara. So it's been a while since we were back in Tanis. I'd say probably about 4 years ago in the Daf Yomi. So this now makes for excellent review. Amar of Shimon and Gamal, hey, Yamim Tovim Litz. So there are no two greater days of joy and happiness in Yantuv than that of the 15th day of Av and Yom Kippur. Sheba Benos Yerushalayim, and on these days you have the following minhag, which is Benos Yerushalayim Yotzos Bichli Lavan Shualim. Women will go out on that day with clothing, white clothing that was borrowed. Shalo Levai Shemi Sheinlo, so as not to embarrass people, those who do not. So in other words, so everyone's going to be wearing borrowed clothing. Nobody's going to, it's not going to turn into a fashion show. So, and they would go out. The Mishnah goes on to say they're looking for Shiduchim on these 2 days, on Yom Kippur and on Tu B'Av. Okay. Yom Kippur is a funny time to make Shiduchim, right? We're fasting, we're in shul, it's, but... But in terms of people being focused on the right thing, in other words, yeah, it's a good day. Anyway, the two of them are extraordinarily happy days. Now the Gemara says, "Bishlam Yom Kippurim Yom Slicha Mechila Yom Shenitna Baluchos Achronos." So as far as Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, "I get it," meaning it's obvious why it's such a happy day, because Yom Slicha Mechila. Meaning, so the collected avers that we have, dirtied ourselves with over the year, so we take a good spiritual bath in Yom Kippur. And like any time you take a bath, you feel great. So we feel fantastic. Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, and I get it. And Luchos Achronos were given on Yom Kippur as well. And see the Rashbam, I'm not going to go through it right now, where the Rashbam outlines the dating, where we see that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with this Luchos Shnios on the 10th day of Tishrei, which we call Yom Kippur. So fine. So the Gemara says, so I get it. So in other words, that's a day of Slicha Mechila. I understand the inherent joy of Yud Tishrei, otherwise known as Yom Kippur. Ela Chamisha Sabav Maihi. But the 15th day of Av, it is a funny day calendarically. There's nothing on the 15th day of Av. And it's such a happy day, and it's such a joyful day. And what made it so happy? What made it so joyful? So, if you remember an answer, that's great. If you remember all six answers, that's even better. So the Gemara is going to give six proposals in terms of what makes Tu B'Av so exciting, so special. So we start off number one. It is the day in which the Shvatim were permitted to marry one another. My drosh zeh hadavar davar zeh lo yei nahog ela bedor zeh. Is that this prohibition against intertribal intermarriage was lifted. The Isser was lifted because the Isser was only for one generation. It was a one generation Isser, and then the Isser was lifted. And by the way, parenthetically, if you haven't guessed, I'll give away, why are we doing this entire Gemara right now? Because of this. Meaning, the first reason that's given in terms of why Tu B'Av is such a happy day is obviously germane to our discussion that we started with yesterday in terms of the idea that Bnos Lavchan and that generation were not allowed to marry from one tribe into another. So on the day that was lifted, so was Yom Simcha. Okay, the pool of the Shiduchim opened up, right? A big expansion in terms of who he can marry. I'll point out, it's a little bit strange, and the Rashbam says it, but the Rashbam is not saying anything novel, he's really just saying Pshat in the Gemara. When exactly is this ban lifted? Meaning, what did we need to happen in order for the ban to lift it? In order for the ban to be lifted? The Rashbam writes, the Rashbam is towards the bottom of the Amud. Shehutru hasavas nachla shepasak osodor shalbay haaretz shenesar lahem hasavas nachla v'hashtamia in mishter adayim b'nei adam shayu b'osodor akati b'usarai kaimi aval shar b'nei adam shalayu b'osodor mutarim. Okay, basically what we needed is everyone of that generation to die. So, it's a little bit of an oddity, meaning, when exactly did the Isser come to a conclusion? When everyone in that generation died, okay, the last person in that generation lived. I'm saying this only in our context. Oh, that's good. That's great. Now the ban has been lifted. So the Rashbam points out that seemingly that would be the point of the Isser being lifted. And this happened on Tu B'Av. It's still a little bit strange, by the way. It's kind of random in terms of when it came out during the year. Meaning other explanations are going to make it specific to Tu B'Av. Over here, it just kind of ended up on Tu B'Av, I guess. Meaning in this particular explanation, where the last person died. Okay.
No, actually, this is actually what makes the most sense. Because it was actually historically based on Tisha B'Av and every day.
Well, meaning what? I'm not.
That generation was destined to die every year.
No, but you're conflating. Meaning that's another explanation that's given, and that's coming up later.
Right.
This is a different explanation. This has to do with the permission to marry whomever you want. Mm-hmm. So, I'm just pointing out that it's not. Why Tu B'Av? It's kind of, it's kind of random according to this explanation, or at least seemingly random. Okay, Rava Bar Brachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Yom Shehu Tosheva Ben Yamin Lava Bekal. So the Gemara now gives our second explanation of what makes Tu B'Av such a joyous day, and that after Pelagish Begiva, we just went through it in the Gemara a couple days ago. Pelagish Begiva is the last three prakim of Sefer Shoftim, and so as a result of a very long story and a very tragic story, so Sheva Ben Yamin was reduced to 600 men, and on top of that, a ban that no one was to marry them. And when that ban was lifted, so that turned into a day of simcha. And that occurred on Tu B'Av. De'chziv ish v'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzvah le'mor ish mimeno li'tein bito levin yamin le'isha. So nobody was allowed to give their daughter over to any of the remaining members of Sheva bin Yamin. And as we pointed out just a short couple days ago, that was 600 that were remaining. My Darosh. Now, what did they darshan in order to allow this to happen? So, Mimenu v'lo mi b'neinu. It was only for us, but it wasn't for our children. Meaning, so once again, this was also a one-generation ban not to marry into Sheva ben Yamin, but our children are allowed to marry into Sheva ben Yamin. The word drosh over here, by the way, does not have to be understood as literally as we previously said. Meaning, this was not a Isser min haTorah, like we described in the intermarriage, in the intertribal intermarriage prohibition, that's an Isser min haTorah. Over here, it was a ban that they came to, it was a chayim that they came to as a result of Binyamin's behavior, poor behavior. So the word drosh over here does not have to be understood as literally as we understood it previously. Okay, that was number two. Number three, Rav Dimi bar Yosef Amar Rav Nachman Yom Shekol Abba Meisei Midbar. It was the day in which the Meisei Midbar came to a conclusion. The Amar Mar, Ashelo Kalo Meisei Midbar. Well, before we get to the Amar Mar, a day in which the people in the desert died, we know that because of the Chedam Araglim, so the Jewish people were given the punishment in which they're going to have to wander through the desert for the next 38 years. And on top of that, 38 plus years. And on top of that, anyone between the age of 26, they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, but rather, they're going to die in the desert. And the Rashbam over here points out, and Tosus points this out at length. So, but I'll do the Rashbam. Rashbam in this case is particularly shorter. Kalabah Meisei Midbar b'Midrash Echa Yom Shebita Bo HaChefer. So the Rashbam over here quotes a Medrash, Medrash Echa, and the Medrash says that it was the day Shebita Bo HaChefer. What does that mean? So the Amar of Levi called Erev Tishabav. Hayukruz Yotzei Hakol Yatsu Lechpor Chafarim V'Yishenim Bahem. So the Medrash over here, it's a really a nightmarish medrash, but it describes that in the years that they were in the desert, so on every Tisha B'Av, which obviously on every Erev Tisha B'Av, so, and that of course was the anniversary of Chedam Meraglim, so what they were told to do is that they were told to dig graves, and that night they would go and they would go out into the grave and sleep in the grave that they dug out. Now in the morning, so the announcement would be Yibadlu Achaim and Amesim. Just such a haunting line. So anyone who's alive should separate from those who died. Meaning, so some people died in the grave they dug up and they dug for themselves, and some people did not. And so whoever didn't die, obviously get up and walk out. And approximately 15,000 were lost per annum, right? Which spaced out over 40 years, basically is the totality of the Dor HaMidbar. V'kach asu mem shana yom l'shana yom l'shana. And that's what they did for the 40 years. Hare mem shana b'shana achrona asu kein. Now then when they got to the 40th year, they did so as well. Batku atzman v'nitzmu shleimim. Now, on year 40, so the way the Rashbam presents it, so nobody died that year. Meaning, so, okay, let's just, I'm going to present it simply like the Rashbam. There's more to discuss on this point, but let's say it like the Rashbam. So on year 40, so they went into the grave on Erev Tisha B'Av, and nothing happened. Meaning nobody died, I should say. Amru Shema Te'ina B'cheshmon. So now they looked around, they said, look, we're trained, meaning we know what happens. What happens is normally some die and some don't die. And over here, everybody walked out of the grave, something's wrong. So what they first assigned the problem to was, maybe calendarically we got it wrong. Meaning we think today is Tisha B'Av, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's the 8th day of Av. Okay, maybe we got Rosh Chodesh wrong. So what they then suggested is that today really is the 8th day of Av, which means that tomorrow is Tisha B'Av. Which means that what we'll do is we'll do this again tonight. And then v'chein b'yud, v'chein b'yud al, v'chein b'yud beis, v'chein b'yud gimel, v'chein b'yud dalet. Ad de amas le sihara. And they kept doing this until the moon was full. Meaning, for those of you who follow the moon, any moon watchers out there, okay, I have it's a little hobby of mine. So if you're a good moon watcher, so you'll know, it comes a point in time where you know it can't be the 9th of Av, it can't be the 10th of Av. Meaning a full moon, it screams out that we're in the middle of the month. We are past the 9th day of the month. So, imat la sahara. So that's exactly what the measure says. The moon's full. Kevin di imat la sahara, amru bital kash berchu, sugzera kasha me'alenu, vasu mishta v'simcha v'yamtav. Now this explanation is beautiful because it works well into why specifically the 15th day of Av. Meaning as the point of realization that it's no longer Tisha B'Av anymore. It can't be Tisha B'Av because at the 15th day of Av, they're seeing a full moon, and so now they know. So this third explanation does a wonderful job explaining why specifically the 15th day of Av. Okay. De Amar Mar. We're back in the Gemara. We're in the last line of Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and the Gemara now quotes another statement regarding this third explanation. Ad Shelo Kala Meisei Midbar. Now, as far as Meisei Midbar were concerned, so until they all died, Lo Haya Dibur Emosha. So the communication that Moshe Rabbeinu had with the Kadosh Baruch Hu was not good, meaning there was a lack of clarity of Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu had, as long as you had the Dor HaMidbar. But once they completed dying, so then the communication was back up between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, the Gemara quotes, Vayika asher tamu kol anshei ha-melchama lamus mikarev ha'am usmechle v'adaber Hashem alai lemor. Elaya ya hadibor. So now the communication was strong. Granted, by the way, that the window now of good communication between HaKadosh Baruch and Moshe, it's not a big window, it's a small window. Because Moshe Rabbeinu himself is going to die not that shortly later. But, in other words, the Gemara is now contrasting that while the Dor HaMidbar were alive, communication was down. But once they all died, communication was back up. So, if this is true, so wasn't there clear communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu in the course of the desert on a number of occasions? And so how do you understand the Gemara? So the Rashbam deals with this question. The Rashbam writes, the very top Rashbam on the Amud. The Rashbam writes, La Yadibra Moshe, Pe El Pe Kabatchila. Meaning originally Moshe Rabbeinu had the greatest nevuah. In fact, one of the Yud Gimel Yikar, one of the 13 principles that the Rambam writes, is that there was no Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had what the Gemara describes as Aspaklari Ameira. He had a clear connection and communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Pe el pe adaber bo. I speak to him right literally mouth to mouth. Aval im hutzerchu ledibur kegon. Now the Rashbam points out, but even though this kind of communication was down, but there were occasions where you needed communication. So the Rashbam writes, "Kigon Maisa Dekarach Shahaya Acher Maisa Meraglim Haya Medaber Al Yedei Malach O Beurim V'Tumim." So an interesting Rashbam. What an interesting Rashbam! That during the years in the desert, when this clear communication, the clear nevuah was down, so how did Moshe receive any type of communication? Either through a malach or the Urim V'Tumim. Okay, you got to put that in your back pocket as just such an interesting, such an interesting idea. Inami, Allah yimadabri yimo elah yidei tzarech maisa tzarech lahem. Or the Rashbam also entertains the idea that as per necessary. Meaning, in general, communication was down, but if there was a need, if there was a great demand, so then Kadosh Baruch Hu did speak directly to Moshe Rabbeinu. Another possibility. But certainly, you know, it begs the question, the Rashbam asks it, if the communication is down, so what about all the times where you see Moshe and Kadosh Baruch Hu were talking? Okay. Back to the Gemara. We are, I think, up to number four, if I'm counting correctly. Ula Amar, again, our question is, why is Tu B'Av such a happy day? And the reason why we're discussing this right now in the 8th parak of Baba Basra is because the first opinion was that the intertribal intermarriage becomes permitted in the next generation. And that occurred on Tu B'Av. So that is germane to our discussion of the 8th parak of Baba Basra. And as long as we're here now, we're going to go over all the other suggestions given by the Amoraim in terms of what made it such a Yom Simcha. Ulama Yom Shabita Bahushea ben Ela Pardesios. Shahoshiv Yeravam al Hadrachim Shalo Yalu Yisrael Arego. So the Gemara now gives a fourth suggestion, and that is that there were guard posts placed at the border. After Shlomo HaMelech and his reign comes to a conclusion, so it's taken over by his son Rechavam. Problem was is that you had a civil war. And you had a split in the Jewish people between the north and the south. The south was occupied by Shevet Yehuda Binyamin and run by Malchi Yehuda, meaning Rechavam, the son of Shlomo. And the north broke off and was started by Yeravam ben Nevat. Now, in order to create a independent state from that of the south, so you had a small problem because we have what's called the Aliyah Regel. And three times a year, we are instructed to go to Yerushalayim. And it's a fantastic way to unify the entire Jewish people. Yerovam ben Nevat didn't want unification. He wanted division. So what he had to do is he basically had to ban Aliyah L'Regel. And so what he did is he created guards at the southern border of his northern kingdom so that people on the Regalim would not make Aliyah L'Regel. And he also created an alternative place that they would go to in order so that they would not do Aliyah L'Regel. With all that stated, So the Gemara says that at a later point historically, the guard booths were knocked down, and that became a Yom Simcha. Where now, even those who were living up in the north were able to go to and make Aliyah L'Regel. Number five, Rav Masar Miyom Shinisna Ruge Beis Alekvura. A fifth suggestion. This takes us now well further in Jewish history. This now goes to post Churban Bayis Sheni. After the destruction of the Second Temple. Second Temple was destroyed in the year 70 of the Common Era. And 52 years later, a revolt against the Romans, led by Bar Kokhba, also supported by Rabbi Akiva. And that ended with another loss, a crushing loss. And this one of the last stands that took place during this revolt. This was 52 years after Churban Bayis Sheni. So we're approximately the year 122 of the Common Era. So this ended in a defeat and in the city of Beitar. And the Romans, just to make sure that no revolt would happen once again, so to punish the Jewish people, so that they left the bodies unburied. In other words, the bodies that were massacred in Beitar, so they left them unburied. And a nace from HaKadosh Baruch Hu came in that the bodies did not deteriorate and decompose. And the Gemara goes on to explain the Amara, and the day that they were finally allowed to be buried was on Tu B'Av years later after the bodies were left for decomposition. Again, the miracle was they didn't decompose. The Amar Rav Masna Oso Yemshe Nesno Arugei Beisalik for a Tiknu B'Av Natov Ametiv. So on the day that the Haruge Beisar were finally allowed to be buried, so the Chachamim instituted a bracha atov ametiv, hatov shelo yisrichu v'ametiv shenitin l'kvura. So, and parenthetically, a longer version of this bracha of atov ametiv was attached to benching, meaning benching is made up primarily of three brachos, meaning the Gemara in the seventh Berakha brachos goes on to say that benching, which is a bracha min haTorah, so it's made up of three brachos, presumably all three brachos are min haTorah. That's the easiest way to say it. That's the way I'm going to present it now. And that what the Chachamim did is they attached a fourth bracha to benching, the bracha atov ametiv. Okay, on another occasion, you can ask me why the Chachamim attached to benching as opposed to putting it somewhere else. Anyway, also atov ametiv is connected with wine as well. Okay, more to say about that. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tarvayu. So now we are up to the sixth suggestion of the Gemara in terms of what makes Tu B'Av such a joyous day. Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tarvayu Yom Sheposkim Bo Melichros Eitzim L'Maracha. A day in which we no longer needed to cut wood for the Maracha on the top of the Mizbeach. So we're going to be burning a lot of carbonos. So in order to burn, you need fuel. So wood was chopped down in order to create fuel for the top of the Mizbeach. The top of the Mizbeach is referred to as the Ma'aracha. How many fires were on the top of the Mizbeach? If you remember the Gemara in Midos and the Gemara in Tamid, so Machlok, it's subject to a debate exactly how many fires were on there. If I remember correctly, the options are either 2, 3, or 4. I'm going on memory. So don't hold me to it right now, please. But anyway, there was fuel that needed to be cut. On Tu B'Av, so finally enough wood was cut down. Tanya Rebbe Lazar HaGadol Omer, Kevin Shigia Chamisha Asar B'Av. So now we get to the 15th day of Av. Tashash Kocho Shochama. Finally the sun broke. Meaning, I guess here in Florida, like... It happens a little bit after Tu B'Av. I hypothesize, please ignore my next sentence as it's just not, it's not to be taken seriously, that we wait till after Sukkot. So Kadosh Baruch Hu here in Florida waits till right after Sukkot in order for the sun to break. But in Eretz Yisrael, so it broke on Tu B'Av. Okay, and as a result of that, lo yukar tenetz lamaracha, and they didn't need to cut wood anymore. Meaning that the wood was no longer moist. Meaning the wood basically sat out in the sun, in the hot sun, for all those days in a row, and good. And now we finally had enough fuel for the mizbeach. Amar Rav Menashe v'kari leyom tabra magal. They actually gave that name a day. Let me do that sentence again. Let me do it correctly. They gave that day a name. And what did they name that day? Yom Tabra Magal, the day in which we broke the saw, we broke the axe. Meaning, we don't need the axe anymore. We're good. We have enough wood for the Mizbech for the rest of the season. Or however long that lasts. Okay. And again, by the way, this explanation also works out really well for Tu B'Av. Meaning, because Tu B'Av is really the end of the summer. Right? It's now finally when it doesn't work out. Obviously, you know, in total perfection with the solar year, but that's basically, you know, we're heading back to school. We're now entering into the fall, like it's good. And in that regard, that's why Tu B'Av becomes such a happy day. There's an interesting Rashbam which it's quoted again. I've heard it quoted before. What makes it such an exciting day? So if you look at the end of the Rashbam, when I say end, I'm sorry. Let me do a little bit better job in terms of identifying where I am. The Rashbam doesn't have a Divra Maskal. It says Minisan ve'ad Tu B'Av hayu kortenetzin. From the month of Nisan until the 15th day of Av, so they'd be cutting wood. That's wood cutting season. Like I explained, the wood has got still moisture in it. And also there were worms inside, meaning it wasn't good for the fire. You know that when the wood has got worms in it, you cannot use it for the mizbech. V'chol eishu hu nitzas eino osa ma'achalos v'osa yom shepasku hayusmechem lefi. This is the line of the Rashbam. Sheba osa yom hayu mashlimim mitzvah gedola kazos. What makes us stay so happy? The conclusion of a mitzvah. When you're involved in a very long and labor-intensive mitzvah, and you finish the mitzvah, that's a happy day. Okay, why do people like this Rashbam so much? Because it really speaks to the idea of a siyum. Meaning that, you know, you spent a lot of time learning a particular masechta or a particular topic, and you come to the conclusion. So the conclusion of a mitzvah is a yom simcha. That's a day of joy. So you're gonna hear this Rashbam in the context of making a siyum. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Mikan ve'elach the mosif yosef she'ena mosif yasif. The Gemara also inserts over here a little bit of Musar. Now, from the day of the 15th of Av and onward. So what are we doing now? We're going into the fall. And notably, what do we have over here? So first of all, we roll back the clock. But from the Gemara standpoint, what do we have over here? We have over here longer nights. And longer nights is a good thing. Why? More time for learning Torah. The Rashbam writes, Mitu ba'av ve'elach demosif min alayla alayom. Lishanos Yosef Yamim Kidiksiv Kihu Chayecha Uksiv Ki Orech Yamim Uvishnos Chayim Vishalom Yosef Alach Shemitoch Shalaylos Ma'arichim Vehayamim Miskatsrim Sarach Lasok Bilimudo Gambalayla. So now you have simply more time. In other words, remember back then, what was their night activity? Their night activity was very simple. They went home, right? Electricity is such a killer, by the way. It allows us to stay up in the night well past the point we should. But back then, though, in other words, with more nighttime, you had more free time. But more free time, of course, meant more time for learning Torah. And the Gemara also says, "Sheino Yosef Yasif." Gemara over here playing on the double entendre of the word Yosef and Sof. Meaning, if you don't add, meaning you don't learn more Torah, so the Gemara says, so it comes to a premature death. So, sorry for being just so blunt, but that's basically what the Gemara means. Ma yasif tani rav yosef tikbrei ime. The Gemara is blunt. I don't have to be apologetic. The Gemara says is that you're going to be buried by your very own mother. In other words, you will not live as long, being that you are not. You're not taking advantage of all that extra time, all that free time, in terms of Limud HaTorah. Tana Rabbanan. Let's start this now. We're not going to be able to finish it, but let's start it now. Tana Rabbanan Shiva Kapalu is called Olam Kula. So if you want basically a tour de force of humanity from the point of creation, so basically what we could do is we could trace back, and we don't need that many people to go back to Adam Arishon. Right, it's just in general, it's something which is very worthwhile to do. Meaning, right, how many generations does it go back to the Vilna Gaon? Right, I could do it like in six steps, right, so maybe seven. In other words, and that takes you back to the mid 1700s, to the beginning of 1700s, really. So over here, the Gemara is doing this. Now, the Gemara can take bigger leaps. Meaning, we generationally speaking, right? We only have short generations relative to what they had. So basically, what the Gemara is saying is that I could do this in about seven jumps, not about. I could do this in seven jumps, taking us basically from the time of Adam Rishon, going all the way to basically the time of the Gemara. Okay, well, let me start again tomorrow. I'll do this better tomorrow in terms of making the jumps, making the leaps. Okay, just as a quick recap, the Gemara today talked about Shitas Beis Shammai as it relates to, he doesn't hold the Gzeira Shava. How does he know that that Hafaras Nedarim requires a Beis Din of three? So the Gemara quoted ambiguous Braisa, and then Rav Sheshes says over a Pshat in the Braisa, in which gives us another source that tells us that a Hafaras Nedarim requires a Beis Din of three. And then the Gemara launched into the same discussion that it did back in Tanis and Daf Chavav, and that is Tu B'Av and the Yom Tov of Tu B'Av. Why does the Gemara do that? Because the first explanation of why Tu B'Av is such a happy day and Shiduchim are made on Tu B'Av is because of the allowance of the tribes to intermarry. And then, as long as we gave that explanation, the Gemara gave the five other explanations as well in terms of what makes Tu B'Av such a happy day.